The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. Well, we begin the program with some sad news, but news that was anticipated. Dayton Detective Jorge Del Rio has passed away. He was shot in the line of duty. It was reported yesterday that he would not survive the gunshot wounds. They were able to harvest several of his organs, and his death will give life to several other people. So it was announced this morning that he has passed away. Governor Mike DeWine has ordered all flags across the state to be flown at half staff at all public buildings in Montgomery County in the Ohio State House until sunset on November 12th of this year. Mike DeWine said, "Fran and I send our deepest condolences to the Del Rio family and the Dayton Police Department." And below is the order lowering the flags of the United States, State of Ohio, in honor of the life and service of Dayton Police Detective Jorge Del Rio. We are reminded constantly of how very dangerous this job is. And sadly, and I say this advisedly but truthfully, primarily because of the far left, the respect and honor for police is at a point, the lowest that I ever remember in my lifetime. When I was growing up, police were respected. Police were honored, even or maybe even especially in minority communities. But because of the attack on authority in general, and particularly police from the liberal left, and, well, race baiters who have exaggerated statistics, and police are not respected in the way that they once were. So our sympathy goes out to the city of Dayton and, of course, this man's family. So when you see flags half-staff, you will know why. Then here is breaking news. Earlier today, four southwestern city schools in Columbus were on lockdown. Stiles Elementary School, Norton Middle School, Prairie Norton Elementary School, and Westland High School were all on lockdown. Just about 15 minutes ago, Franklin County Sheriff's Department has announced that the lockdown has been lifted. Some students are still being held at the school so that parents can come and pick them up and so forth. And here is all that's being released. Quote, the Franklin County Sheriff's Office said it is investigating something in the area. That's what it says. They are investigating something in the area, but additional information has not been released. So that is all that law enforcement is telling us. Those four schools were on lockdown, but as we speak, the lockdown, fortunately, has been lifted. And then there is this. A federal judge in New York late yesterday struck down what I believe was a very important Trump administration directive. Now, what it was, the directive from the Trump administration allowed people of conscience who worked for health organizations, hospitals, other health facilities, to refuse to provide or participate in abortions. If they had moral or religious reasons, health care clinicians could refuse to provide abortions or participate in abortions because of their religious convictions. Now, think about this. If you believe that abortion is murder, how in the world can you possibly justify forcing someone to participate in what they honestly believe is murder? And so the Trump administration issued a new rule through the Department of Health and Human Services that people who are opposed to abortion, or a clinic owned by someone opposed to abortion, could not be forced to provide abortions. Common sense, right? Not according to U.S. District Judge Paul A. Engelmeyer of the Southern District of New York. Late yesterday, he, this federal judge, rejected the federal rule after women's groups, health organizations, and multiple states sued the Department of Health and Human Services, arguing the exemptions were unconstitutional. What? To refuse? To murder someone? To refuse is unconstitutional, according to this judge. Part of the ruling said the refusal of care rule was an unlawful attempt to allow health care providers to openly discriminate and refuse to provide necessary health care to patients based on providers' religious beliefs or moral objections. The rule would have taken effect on November 22nd, and it would have allowed providers and healthcare organizations to opt out of performing abortions or other services if the clinicians objected to them on moral or religious grounds. So because of this judge's order, people who work in the healthcare industry may be forced to choose between their job and their religious convictions. I have a feeling that most people who truly have convictions about abortion will choose life over their job. That should not be necessary in America. It should not be necessary in America. U.S. District Judge Paul A. Engelmeyer of the Southern District of New York has struck down the new Trump administration rule, again, that would have taken effect on November 22nd. All right, we need to take a break. I have an update on little 7-year-old James Younger. He's the little boy down in Texas who has an abusive mother that wanted to turn this little boy into a girl, whether the little boy wanted it or not. Yeah, again, I've got an update. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Bernie Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome again to Bob Bernie Live. Here is an update on a story that we've been following. And it's semi-good news. It's semi-good news because this story is far, far from over. It's the story of this little boy, James Younger. He's 7 years old. His mother and father are involved in a nasty, nasty divorce. The mother is a pediatrician, but she is a radical leftist pediatrician who, when this little boy is a twin, two boys, identical twins. But for whatever reason, and this is pure conjecture on my part, that she had two boys and she wanted a girl, wanted them to be a girl. Now, again, that's just conjecture on my part. But when these two twins were 3 years old, the mother began telling James, not both, just James, "You're really a girl." 3 year old. Now, from everything I can gather from the father and other witnesses, this little boy showed no indication whatsoever that he thought he was a girl, wanted to be a girl, or anything like that. This was purely the idea of his mother. "You're a girl, you're a girl, you're a girl. You're not supposed to be a boy, you're supposed to be a girl." She began dressing him up as a girl when he was 3 years old. So, gets to kindergarten age, mother and father are now split up. And a good reason or portion of this is because of this mother's wacky, radical attempt to transition this little boy into a girl, whether he wanted it or not. So she got custody, enrolled him in kindergarten as a transgender girl named Luna. It's a boy, James. She dresses him up every day as a girl, tells him every day, "You're not James, you're Luna." Well, it kept getting worse, and the courts got involved, and if you'll remember, a jury awarded custody, sole custody to the mother back, what, a month or so ago? Sole custody of the mother. She wanted to begin the process hormonally to take this 7-year-old boy and transform him into a girl. That's child abuse. No 7-year-old child has the mental capacity, the mental maturity to make this kind of decision at 7 years old. Well, again, the father fought it and so forth. The jury awarded custody of the little boy, and it was looking bad, 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 bad. The judge in the case said, "Wait a minute, I can't allow this to happen," and awarded joint custody to the mother and the father, which means in the legal ruling by the judge, the mother could not make any medical decision for the boy without the consent of the father. And the father says, there is no way. So here's the good news. As good as the news could be with this little boy who's going to continue to be in a fight, because the mother is trying to get the judge's rule overturned. And anyway, Monday of this week, little James went to school for the first time in his life as a boy, and he loved it. First time ever he attended school as a boy. Now, the father and the mother have a gag order on them, so they cannot comment to the press. But friends of the family, friends of the father, have released pictures and so on and so forth. And Friends of the family are saying that the little boy, when given the opportunity, threw all of the girls' dresses and clothes away. Should give you some indication of the desire of the heart of that little boy. So as I said, it's semi-good news, but this whacked-out, evil, abusive pediatrician mother is going to continue the fight to destroy her son. So continue praying for him. And I've got this story, and I'm glad I have very little time because I have no desire to spend a whole lot of time on it. Many of you are familiar with the incredibly popular Christian comedian John Crist. His YouTube videos are everywhere. They have been viewed literally millions of times. His comedy concerts have been sold out for several years. Probably the single most popular Christian comedian, possibly of all time, has announced that he has canceled all the rest of his immediate speaking engagements because of sexual misconduct. He says that not all of the accusations against him are true, but he admits, he said, "My behavior has been destructive and sinful. I've sinned against God, against women, the people I love the most. I have violated my own Christian beliefs, convictions, and values, and have hurt many people in the process. I am sorry for the hurt and pain I have caused these women and will continue to seek their forgiveness. I have also hurt the name of Jesus and have sought his forgiveness. I now humbly seek forgiveness and mercy and love, not just for me, but for those I've hurt along my path. I am so sorry." We were just talking yesterday about the fact that your greatest enemy, my greatest enemy, is not the devil. It is our own flesh. And whenever we see something like this, please remember, there but by the grace of God go I, go you. The good thing is, it seems that he is facing this, acknowledging it, and is truly repenting. I hope and pray that is the case. If so, yes, he can be restored. Soon? No. But anyway, pray for him and pray for the women. Evidently, there were many that were involved in his sexual misconduct. It is sad, sad, sad. And once again, a warning about Christian celebrities. Sometimes the Christian community is complicit in these things when we idolize someone. Anyway, in light of what we talked about yesterday for almost an hour, just another sad case of the human flesh rising up and destroying a testimony. All right, we'll be back with a special guest after this break.